Welcome to episode 481 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. And we have a lot to talk about tonight. I didn't expect there to be so much news.
Me neither, as I sat down to work on these notes. Wow, there's actually a lot of small stuff going on, but because the quantity is high, we should probably jump right into things as quickly as possible. So why don't we start with a piece of feedback from listener David. He says, with Apple likely coming to the Roku, I'm going to read this because it's an Apple question, so you're going to answer it. With Apple likely coming to the Roku, is that device merely Dolby Vision / Atmos away from being the one to rule them all? Why has Apple suddenly become so free and loose with its services? It's nice to see, but don't hold your breath waiting for the game consoles. But you never know.
Yeah, I mean, you do never know. I certainly don't think that we expected this particular experience, the TV app experience, to come to other manufacturers' boxes. So maybe someday game consoles, but I don't really think that's where their market is. I think they're going for lower priced streaming boxes and then built-in solutions. So I would be surprised if it came to game consoles, but certainly it's not out of the question. Now, as far as, you know, does that make Roku the better overall experience? Maybe, depending on where you are, like where your content is and what your preferred services are. Personally, I actually like the Apple TV experience because Apple strongly encourages everyone they can get away with strong-arming their app providers into developing very consistent experiences for the Apple TV. Experiences that kind of all work the same and navigate the same and look the same. And that's one of the things that Apple does very well, and they want their developers to try and stick with that. Now, we're going to actually talk a little bit later about a case where this is not happening, where a developer is veering away from that. But also, you know, vendors like Netflix pretty much get to call their own shots.
Right. So, are there things? I've got a Roku, but I basically never use it because of all the other devices I have. I don't have an Apple TV. The Roku is like $40. The Apple TV is like $200.
Right.
What does the Apple TV have other than the experience, like the perhaps better apps? What does the Apple TV have that the Roku doesn't have?
I mean, I would argue that it does have a better app ecosystem. It does obviously have the HDR and Atmos stuff, that specifically now the Dolby Vision and Atmos, and that's not something that is available on even the highest end Roku device as of yet. And then if you are in the Apple ecosystem, for example, if you listen to podcasts, if you listen to music, and all of that stuff is in Apple, then those apps are going to be exclusive to the Apple TV. So if you're an Apple person, I still think the Apple TV is the better solution. But Roku is definitely getting better. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Now, the other thing I would argue is AirPlay. I think AirPlay is a whole lot more convenient than having to figure out if your app that you have and the apps that are installed on a device support any sort of casting.
Right.
Because that's different from device to device. It usually requires that the supporting app exists on the platform if it's not a native Google player.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, the casting experience is not great on a Roku. So, okay, I'll go along with that. That all of the reasons you said could be great for sticking with the Apple TV. But yeah, if you're not in the Apple ecosystem, then maybe it does still make sense to stay or to look at Roku, especially for the price differences. All right. Well, thank you to David for sending that in. If you'd like to send us a message, our email address is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. Our featured story tonight, the story that we got to start the show off with, is one that I'm not happy to start the show off with, but it's one that I think a lot of us saw coming. And that is that HD Home Run Premium TV is going to be no more. It's no longer listed as a thing on the Silicon Dust website. And if you're a current subscriber, you won't be for long. Basically, once your current month is up, whenever your billing cycle ends, that's it. It's done. It's going away. You won't have access to it anymore. And if you weren't already a subscriber, you can't sign up now. It's done. This all seems to stem from the ongoing lawsuits with Omniverse, which was the provider for all of these streaming channels that Silicon Dust was reselling, basically. It's sad. You hate to see a service that, frankly, I was really excited about. When they first announced this, I called the complete package that HD Home Run was offering with this and their over-the-air tuners as the ultimate cord-cutting solution, because you've got this reasonably priced premium TV solution for getting the pay channels that you still care about, plus a really good over-the-air tuner and DVR system that is expandable, pretty customizable. Like there was a lot going on for that combination of services and devices if you were a cord cutter, and now a big chunk of that is gone. So that really stinks. We hate seeing this kind of news, but it's unfortunately not all that unexpected. I'm just going to cut all of our listeners off at the kneecaps here and say it for you. Yes, I hope this leads to a renewed focus on getting the Prime 6, the HD Home Run Prime 6, the 6 tuner version of their cable car tuner, out soon, very soon.
Well, and I don't see how it doesn't, because quite frankly, they now need that more than ever. They were talking about 2 new devices that would help you either augment an existing system with additional storage or implement an all-in-one box system solution that would be able to do everything. And then with that HD Home Run Premium TV service, it was a really viable competitor to cable. Well, now without that TV service and only really relying on over the air, they really need to get that cable tuner thing back out there.
Yes. Yeah. And you're talking about the HD Home Run Servio and the HD Home Run Scribe Duo that we got to take a look at while we were at CES this winter.
Correct.
So we're still waiting on those to come to market, which should be soon, right?
Yeah, it should be soon. We know that this company, as much as we like them, as much as we like their products, they have a history of delivering slowly. And as I've said before, I would much rather see a good product delivered slowly than a product that isn't ready come out early. So I think we will see those products this year, but this certainly does hopefully free up some bandwidth and perhaps shine some much needed attention back on the Prime 6.
Although, you know, in doing a little bit of research on this, they told us at CES that the Servio and the Scribe Duo, they would start taking pre-orders for in March.
It's like April. I said, slow to deliver product.
Right. Yeah. So I'm sure that's right around the corner. And hopefully the Prime 6 will be very soon after that. Hopefully we're realistically looking at summer. That'd be real nice, but we really don't know.
Yeah, I would hope so. But the other thing that we have to think about is that every day that they were dealing with the hassle that this lawsuit created for them as a company, to try and figure out how to manage this, how to budget for it, how to compensate people. What do we say to people? How are we going to market this? All of the work that went into repositioning and managing that crisis was a diversion of resources. So I truly believe that they made the right decision here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do too. It just stinks that this is what they had to do.
Agreed. All right. Well, our first video story is once again an audio story.
What are you doing to me, Richard?
And it's that again, because we are once again going to talk about, well, the generic term would be object-based audio, but specifically Atmos or Microsoft's own 3D audio system that they have on PCs and on Xbox. And specifically, what we learned recently is that PCs and eventually the Xbox are going to get the ability to customize this type of audio. Now, we already talked about how you'd have the ability to create virtual object-based sound fields. So right now, all of the audio comes out as if it were Atmos, if you turn on Atmos, but maybe it's not actually Atmos and it's not getting upmixed. So virtual surround would create a virtual audio upmix that sounds like Atmos and uses the Atmos circuitry. But in addition to that, we now know that an upcoming release to Windows and to the Xbox is going to add further tweaking options, things like selecting the content type. Is it a movie, a game, or a music? And if you have a high-end AVR audio video receiver, you're probably already familiar with this concept. There are different sound fields that you can select based on the type of content that you're watching to optimize for that type of viewing and the sound that would be associated with it. Additionally, they're going to have frequency level tuning so that at three different frequencies, you'll be able to select the, you know, like adjust the volume or level of that frequency, almost like an equalizer.
Yeah, but that sounds like a three-band EQ.
Yeah, it kind of is, but I think it's a little bit more complicated than that because of the 3D sound field that we're talking about. And then finally, a volume leveling feature, which, man, I think every single streaming device and box should have, and it should be quickly and readily available so that if you're watching something late at night or if you're watching something and you just don't want to be drowned out when the dramatic music comes on, as opposed to the people whispering in the room, you know, this type of feature helps normalize that and make it a lot easier to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always a pretty welcome, you know, the thing is that that's a pretty welcome enhancement for most normal people, not the people who are excited about Atmos. Right?
Well, yes and no, because I stay up late to watch TV after Edward's already gone to bed, and I don't necessarily want to be, like, you know, blowing up the house with big explosion noises. So even though I have a three-dimensional sound field, I still want the level to be reasonable. So I think this will be really interesting, depending on how they implement it. Now, when?
Right.
We don't know when exactly, but we know that it will come first to Windows, and then eventually it will come to the Xbox in a release. And we said this last time we talked about this. We didn't really know when this virtual sound field, virtual Atmos surround was going to be available either.
Well, and it sounds like on Windows, it's already available for some of the insider rings. So you could already be playing with this on your test PCs, because we know, of course, no one is installing insider versions of Windows on production machines, right?
Certainly not.
Cool. Well, you'll have to try this out and let me know how this goes once it makes it to the Xbox, since I'm pretty sure you no longer have a Windows PC hooked up to your TV, right?
Yeah, right. That is absolutely correct. I no longer do. Okay. All right. Well, moving on in video, we have a new streaming box from Comcast.
Wait, what?
Right. Because, you know, they want some of that money.
Doesn't that just mean the regular cable box that I would get from Comcast?
No, it doesn't mean that. And unlike some providers that are, I don't know, maybe giving you an Apple TV or giving you some other streaming box and an app to use, nope, that is not what Comcast is doing. Comcast is going to rent you for $5 a month a streaming service box that will offer you streaming services like Netflix and Hulu and Crackle and stuff like that, not TV channels, like nothing that's actually going to provide you with the TV content that you get from the Comcast X1 platform. But it is going to have on-demand content that you can pay for if you want to rent or buy movies. Oh, and you can't get any competing streaming services like DirecTV Now or PlayStation View or anything like that. Those won't be on it either. So this sounds awesome, doesn't it?
This sounds like a Roku that you rent? Is that basically what this is?
Yeah, so let's do the math on that. Let's see, a Roku you can get pretty much for like $30 nowadays. This is $5 a month, so after a year, you could have two Rokus.
Carry the one, right? hard math. This is not a great deal. This is like, I'm actually kind of disappointed about this because I think it makes sense for Comcast and cable companies and stuff to be trying to do things like this. They're just not doing it in a way that makes sense.
No, like they're not having, at all.
Having a device and a service and stuff from a company that you already know, company that you already trust, that you're used to doing business with, it makes sense. Like, I don't want to pay $100 a month for my cable anymore, and I'm barely watching anything. So how about I try one of these things? And, I can get the box from this company that I'm already paying for my internet anyway. So let's try it. But this doesn't actually make any sense. Like, you really shouldn't. The only thing that this gives you that a Roku doesn't give you is access to the on-demand stuff, right? Because this is on-demand from Comcast?
Correct. This is Comcast's on-demand service. So yay, if you want that. Now, right. Here's, I guess, the good thing is that you don't have to have their TV service to get this. You can just get this box if you have their internet service. That's all you have to have is their internet service. So from that perspective, maybe it's good if you don't care about TV channels and all you really want are these streaming or subscription services and on-demand. But this just doesn't seem like a good solution for the money. And I can't look at this as anything but suits in a room saying, hey, streaming's big. We want a piece of that.
Yeah. I mean, that is probably what this is. But I do think there is a way for them to do this, but this just isn't it. And if you are thinking, well, the on-demand is compelling to me, well, there are ways to get that content on a Roku or an Amazon Fire TV, because all of those shows and movies and stuff that you would be paying for as on demand, you can get from Amazon or from Vudu or all those other places.
Right. In a way that isn't locked to your provider.
Right.
Which I think is more important, right? Like, Amazon is more likely to stay in the video business, then you are likely to continue to use the same provider for the same period of time, right? So if you want to have content that you keep once you've bought it, then you should be thinking about services that maybe sync with Movies Anywhere or something like that. So yeah, I don't think this is a good solution. I would not recommend this to anyone.
Yeah, agreed. All right, Richard, this is another story that I was hoping that you would be able to check out. Our next story here. This is brand new news today for Roku, but maybe more importantly, Apple TV users. Plex. And how is it that we have Plex news and it wasn't our featured story? That's like a record for us. Plex has a new user interface. And I think the actual answer is because we haven't been able to try it yet, right?
Yeah, we have not been able to try it yet. So it's only available in beta for Apple TV. And I believe you need to sign up to get the beta release and get that installed on your device, because beta and Apple is a little bit confusing. It is supposedly available on the Roku, but when I went to access it and I even checked in the store, I did not have the latest version. So I don't know what's going on here. But the good news is that this new interface, this new user experience, attempts to solve many of the navigation problems that you and I repeatedly complained about on the show with our listeners to them multiple times, because we've spoken with them about this too. And, you know, what we're talking about is that bar at the top that you would navigate up to, and then you would navigate up above that if you wanted submenus, and you had these two sliding things, and it was just very, very confusing. And they have replaced that with a much simpler two-dimensional navigation model that makes a whole lot more sense, that uses a left, I would call this a drawer, like something where your whole application kind of slides over to open this panel that has your consistent navigation in it. And that will show you your primary content types and any other content that you want to pin there, like maybe title music, if you have that, or maybe a specific library or something like that. So that will be your primary way of jumping between types of content. And then you'll be able to navigate within that to show different libraries and shared libraries and the different ways of presenting that information on the screen. I'm really happy to see this. I think this makes much more sense than the direction that they were going. And it sounds like they're planning on ultimately rolling this out to other devices if it's well received.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm confused about by looking at the screenshots, since I haven't been able to play that either, is when is this giant menu on the left side visible?
Because the way that this has worked in the past when they've done these side menus is that you just navigate over to the left and it opens it up. Now, the question becomes, will that be discoverable? Will it be obvious? I don't know the answer to that. We'll have to see how it's implemented.
Because looking at the screenshots where that left bar thing is not visible, there is nothing on the screen that gives me a clue as to how to make it come back.
Yep.
The only other thing that I have as, like, because overall, I think this generally looks nice. My only other slight criticism would be that when that left menu bar thing is visible, it's enormous and needlessly enormous. There is all of this empty space in it when I could be viewing more posters and stuff in my library.
Yeah, potentially. I think that depends on how many libraries you have and how you organize them and stuff like that. I'm not willing to pass judgment on this until I actually try it. And as everyone should know, I am not known to hold back judgment.
No. Nope. Well, hopefully you and I will both be able to, I guess I'm going to have to hook up my Roku to try it, but hopefully you and I will be able to get some time with this real soon so that we can give some real feedback on it in a future episode of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there was some other stuff that they announced too. Probably I would call these much smaller news pieces, but they were part of the newsletter that they sent out. So they now have native support for the Clearstream over-the-air tuner from Antennas Direct. So that's a cool thing. And if you didn't have that before and you didn't have FlexPass, which is required for live TV and DVR service, that actually includes a 1 month free trial of Plex Pass. So you can give that a try and decide if this is a good solution for you or not. They have also added Tidal Music to more devices. So they've added it to LG smart TVs, and they plan on adding it very soon to the Plex Media Player app, the one that's designed for your desktop. And then shortly thereafter, it'll be coming to Samsung TVs as well. And then finally, they also discussed that they have added Local Now, which is a free streaming service from the Weather Channel, as one of the new options under Plex News. But I really couldn't care less about Plex News, so I made no effort to investigate that.
But the local, isn't Local Now the thing about the Weather Channel that most people want?
I guess. I don't know, because I haven't had the Weather Channel for a good long time, because Verizon dropped them when they started basically playing, you know, games of chicken with the different providers.
And
So Verizon said, okay, bye, we'll get AccuWeather. And I'm perfectly happy with that, because it's one less channel of reality TV.
That's true. Although you watch a fair amount of reality TV, my friend.
I don't know about that. All right.
Okay, well, maybe just Big Brother.
Yeah. All right, and rounding out our video news, we have a, I don't know if I'd call this a story so much as a sneak from our favorite TiVo sneaker. That didn't come out right. Anyway, Dave Zatz over at Zatz Not Funny has a bit of information that was in a user forum about an upcoming feature where skipping commercials will become an automatic feature in an upcoming release of the TiVo software. And this has been confirmed by TiVo. So you may remember just an episode or two ago, we were talking about the IFTTT service that they added that lets you kind of do this crazy round trip thing. And I had that set up, and now it won't be necessary. In fact, once this comes out, if I enable automatic channel or skipping, automatic commercial skipping on TiVo, I will have to basically turn off my IFTTT applet, or it will skip twice. And you don't want that.
Oh, no, no, you definitely don't want that. That's cool. Do you think that there was some patent or something on automatic commercial skipping that ended recently? Because it seems like everyone is talking about automatic commercial skipping now.
Well, I don't know about everyone. What I do know is that TiVo, I think, has been just testing the water with this one toe at a time. First, with this hidden ability to skip commercials with your remote. If you typed some Easter egg sequence of keys in your remote, then that would enable commercial skipping on the remote. Then they made that native in the remotes. Then they added this skip feature, and then they added this IFTTT thing. Now they're doing it for reels. Now they're adding actual commercial skipping, which has been problematic for other providers. If you think about the the Dish Hopper, which had commercial skipping built in. Now they handled it a little bit differently, but that was still problematic for them. It was also one of the things that helped bring down the Replay TV DVR years and years and years ago. So I don't know if it's so much a matter of a patent ending as much as I think the data is starting to come out now that fewer people actually take advantage of this than everybody thinks. And it turns out that when this feature is available, that people are like it hasn't caused any problems. Like the expected result is always that, oh, well, nobody's going to watch any commercials. They're not going to go home with any brand. Well, there are other ways of advertising now. There are in-show advertisements now. There are, you have your lower thirds that different stations use for different purposes. So this isn't the only way of getting a message out for advertising purposes.
Right. Right. Well, cool. I'm never going to turn down automatic commercial skipping.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Especially with how good the networks have gotten at tricking you as to when the commercial break is going to be over. I'm really bad at fast forwarding past commercials.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, and this is going to be really useful, particularly when I'm, you know, watching stuff 5 years from now that I recorded 3 years ago. And I really don't care about the 8-year-old commercials.
Right. Or what's always the worst is like, it's December and you're catching up on shows that you recorded in October. And it's an election year. And all of those commercials are campaign commercials for an election that's over. I always love that.
Or vice versa. It's August and you're watching Christmas ads.
Right. Right. Yep. All right. Well, let's move on to a little bit of audio news. This one is a little bit weird. Spotify is testing a new plan. Now, Spotify kind of has three plans right now. One is just their normal $9.99 a month plan for one person to have access to all of their premium services. They have a family plan that's $14.99 a month, and that gets you six accounts. I think it's six. Maybe it's five. Not sure. That's the service that I have, but I'm only using three plans so far. And they have a student discount plan also, but now they're testing a plan called Duo. It's meant for couples. So instead of each couple paying 10 bucks a month or 10 euros a month, maybe, or something like that, not sure how much the European version of Spotify cost, this Duo plan would set you back $12.49, or 12, I suppose in England they would say €12.49. For two people on one account. So it does save you a bunch of money. And it's not just about cost savings. It also does come with at least one new feature, something called a Duo playlist, where it'll mix up music that both of the people on the account like, which I think is kind of a cool idea, because just this weekend, Jen and I were driving somewhere, and I think it was we were in her car, I think. And so her phone was paired and we were listening to something of hers. And it was pretty similar to stuff that's on, you know, some of my automatically generated playlist. And she said, I wonder how similar your daily mix playlist of acoustic / folky / Americana type music is to mine. And I said, I bet they're pretty similar, but I don't know for sure.
Oh my God, and they heard you.
They did hear us, and they came up with this feature. I think that's a cool idea. Now, I'm not going to subscribe to this for a whole bunch of reasons. The obvious one being I'm using three accounts because my kids have one. But also, it's only available in some countries right now. Colombia, Chile, Denmark, Ireland, and Poland. They haven't talked about whether or not they're going to bring this to the US or UK or any place like that.
Don't you want to move to Colombia? Come on.
Colombia, no.
I hear you can get good drugs there.
Probably. I don't want those in the U.S., so I don't really need to move to Colombia and get them there either. Chile might be cool. Denmark is too cold. I don't really want to go to any of these places.
Ireland is beautiful.
I'm sure Ireland is beautiful, but no, I'll pass. I like America. I'm just fine right here in America. The one weird thing that you found about this is that you have to somehow verify that both account holders live at the same address.
Yeah, they want to ensure that this isn't being used by, you know, two friends who don't actually live together. And you can understand why they would do that, because inevitably someone will try to game the system. So I don't know how they would accomplish that necessarily. I was trying to think through options for this, and one might be just to verify that your respective accounts' devices are on the same Wi-Fi, right? Like that could, in fact, verify that you're using this in the same place, so you must live together. I don't know.
Right. But they don't do that sort of verification on the family plan, which gives you three times as many accounts.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I could very easily give two of my Spotify family accounts to friends. I don't. Hear me when I say this, Spotify. I'm not doing that. I promise. But I could, and they're not doing any of that sort of verification on that. Although maybe this is just them finding a way to do that so they can implement it on the family plans.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing.
No. I mean, these types of plans are intended to be used by people who live at the same place. So, people trying to game systems and get things for less money and all that stuff, that doesn't really generally help the services that we're trying to use. And when you screw the service that you're trying to use, you potentially damage the long-term viability of that service.
Right.
All right. Richard gets a break after all this talking for me to talk about just a little bit of gaming news. Although he's probably looking at all these bullet points and thinking, yeah, right. This looks like a lot of gaming news. It's actually not. PlayStation Store finally getting on board with some of the other platforms like Steam and the Xbox Marketplace, now starting to offer some refunds on digital purchases, but they're still not doing it as well as Steam or Microsoft. So here's how this works. Everything falls into kind of two categories. If you are pre-ordering a game and you decide you want a refund, you can get a refund on a pre-order under two conditions. Either the game has, well, it's kind of a mix. This gets a little weird. If the game hasn't come out yet, you can definitely get a refund as long as you have not downloaded the game, which sometimes you can start downloading games before they're even out so that they're ready when the game is available. So you can play it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a pre-order and it has come out, then you basically have 14 days to do the refund thing, but you still can't have downloaded the game. So you were so excited about a game that you pre-ordered it, but you didn't play it for the first week, then you can get a refund. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think that makes sense. What do you mean that doesn't make sense?
I guess it makes sense if it was a mistake, I guess. We'll get into the real problem here in a minute, though. But so, If you're just buying a game that's already available or some DLC that's already available, so you think, I'm going to buy Red Dead Redemption 2. And then you decide, no, I really shouldn't have spent $60 on that. I want a refund. You can do that if you purchased it within the last 14 days and if you haven't downloaded it. You'll notice that I haven't mentioned at all playing.
Right.
It's just about downloading.
And I have to wonder then, does that mean that this platform doesn't have automatic downloads when you purchase something the way the Xbox does?
Except that it does.
Well, then how does this work?
They are recommending that you turn off automatic downloads. They are recommending that if you think you might want to do this at some point, you should turn off the feature that enables you to actually play games when you want to play them. Because no one wants to babysit their consoles and the updates that happen for these games all the time. Because I can't tell you how bad it sucks to sit down, like you've been waiting all week to play a game, and you sit down at your console and says, oh, sorry, 15 gig update.
Oh, you mean like every time I turn on my 360?
Right. Every time you turn on your 13-year-old, 14-year-old console. Yes. The new consoles have automatic updating enabled. And everyone uses it. Well, I mean, people with data caps and stuff might not do it. But by and large, everyone turns this on because of the convenience. But with Sony, if there's a chance you might ever want to refund a purchase, you have to turn this off. And that's stupid. Not to mention the fact that you don't even get a chance to play the game before you might ask for a refund. I don't remember the exact windows with Xbox, but you can definitely play a game for a little bit and then ask for a refund if you decide, no, this is a game I hate. I don't want to play this. On Steam, there's a 2-hour window. You have, I think it's a couple of weeks and or 2 hours of playtime. If you're within that window, you can ask for a refund. No questions asked. You just get a refund. Even like Google Play on Android, you get a 15-minute window. If you decide you don't like the game within 15 minutes, you can get a refund. But PlayStation is screwing this up. They're doing this really dumb. Really dumb.
Well, you know, this is rootkit Sony.
Yeah.
Way to think through what your customers really want here.
Yep. I mean, I guess on the bright side, if you're a PlayStation fan, at least they're still not as terrible at online stuff as Nintendo. All right, so that's it for our PlayStation news. On the Xbox side, there is yet another special edition controller for the Xbox One. It is the Phantom White Special Edition controller. Richard, what do you think of this one?
I think we talked about this when they first announced it, but it's now available. You can buy it in stores and online. This is a sweet, sweet looking controller. It's actually translucent. Well, it's really weird because the bottom of it is opaque white, and it is like a gradient translucency the higher you get up on the device so that you can see the innards of the controller. This is so cool.
This is maybe the coolest special edition controller they've ever released. I do like this one a lot. A whole lot, but you're gonna have to pay for it. The MSRP on this sucker is $69.99, so it's basically $10 more for this controller than a regular controller.
Yeah, it might be worth it.
It might be. I kind of need a new controller, but I'm not sure I can justify it for this.
Yeah, I can see that. It's a conversation piece controller.
It is.
Like,
it really
this is the one that when your friends are over, they're going to be like, ooh, that's really cool. What is that?
But would you rather spend the $70 on this or $80 on a Design Lab controller where you get to completely customize what it looks like?
Well, completely except for the underside of the stocks, which is what I'd really want to be able to mess with. They still don't let you do that.
Right. And you can't do this crazy transparency thing on it either. Yeah, that's cool. It's really cool. All right. We covered the Xbox Live Games with Gold for April last week. If you missed it, it's in the show notes. Real quick, let's cover the PlayStation Plus free games for April 2019. Sony doing everyone, especially me, a favor as of late and reducing this to just 2 games now per month because it's just PlayStation 4. Your games are Conan Exiles. Yes, like Conan the Barbarian. This is an open world survival game in the Conan universe. I've heard good things about this, but I'm not a survival game kind of guy. The other one is The Surge. This is in the gaming community, Richard, we have a phrase. It's Souls-like. This is sci-fi Souls-like. And by Souls, we mean Dark Souls. And the Dark Souls games are really, really, really hard. But that's the fun of it, I guess. That's the challenge. So if you like Dark Souls, but you want it in sci-fi, The Surge is your free game, your other free game this month on PlayStation Plus.
Cool.
Okay, one more really weird story, kind of. It's going to sound weird. We're going to talk about ebooks here. We've only talked about ebooks a couple of times in the 481 episodes we've done of this show. Although we might do it more because I'm reading a lot more ebooks lately. This is another sad story. We're going to go out with a sad story again. Microsoft is closing its ebook store. Some of you might be going, what? Microsoft had an ebook store? They sure did.
And I know we've talked about it in the past.
Yeah, because the way that it worked was you would buy books through... God, is it the Microsoft store? Is it it's the Microsoft store. Yeah. They keep changing the name of all their stores and stuff. The store that you buy apps and stuff from is now also called the Microsoft store. And up until a couple days ago, it also sold ebooks, and it doesn't anymore. it looks like maybe the reason they're doing this is because you would buy them through the Microsoft Store and then you would read them through Edge. And as we all know, Edge is changing drastically. Edge is now going to be based on Chromium as the rendering engine. I don't know if that actually impacts this. It might not, but the timing is interesting as we know that that new version of Edge is coming. But I think this has more to do with the fact that they probably don't sell many books, and Microsoft has been taking a hard look at all of these consumer media related stores and services and deciding they don't need them if they're not making lots of money or fulfilling a need in the marketplace. And Microsoft selling ebooks is not fulfilling some unmet need in the marketplace. Everyone's yeah. just getting Kindle books or getting them digitally through the library using like Hoopla or Libby or something like that. So,
and you know, again, the frustrating part here is that this was another area where they were first movers. They were selling ebooks well before Amazon was selling ebooks. They were selling ebooks before Audible or any of these other types of services were available. I remember buying ebooks for my Pocket PC and reading them there.
Yep.
And they had an ebook Windows application that you could use to read your ebooks, and you could buy all kinds of books in that format or from their store. So it's just another area where they just never really gave it the attention that it needed or gave it the marketing that it needed or, you know, cared enough about this market or segment to try and build it up.
Yeah. So when we say Microsoft is closing the store, they are really closing it down. It's already gone. Like, if you open the Microsoft Store app on your Windows PC, you will not find books there anymore. Plus, starting in July, you won't even be able to get your books anymore. They're just going to be gone. You won't be able to read the books that you've purchased. That sucks, but Microsoft is absolutely doing the right thing here. Anything that you have purchased from the Microsoft Store for ebooks and stuff, they're just going to give you a refund, all of it. And you don't even need to do anything. It's going to be an automatic process. Starting in July, you're just going to get refunded the full cost of every ebook you've ever purchased from this store. That's awesome and kind of insane.
It is awesome. It is the right thing to do. We get into this really weird area when the means of consuming digital media purchases goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And companies have something of a responsibility there, obviously. They're obviously doing the right thing here, but that's not going to cover everybody. Like, it's very possible that you may have purchased something from their ebook store, which again has been open for years, way before it was specific to the Edge browser. You may have purchased a title that is not available for purchase as an ebook anymore.
Hmm.
Anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, this kind of thing, I don't want to get into the, this is why digital content's bad. This is why I buy Blu-ray discs. But this is why I buy Blu-ray discs.
Yeah, yeah. You make a good point. You make a very good point. I'm not super concerned about it. But, and I wonder how rampant that is in the ebook space. I really have no idea. But they are doing the right thing here. And there's one other really cool thing, because some people might have bought a lot of books and might have used them a lot and might have used the annotation tools a ton for referencing things in those books. And if that's the case, you're also losing all of your annotations. And so if you annotated anything prior to a couple of days ago when this was announced, you get an extra $25 credit. Like, it doesn't bring your annotations back, but it's nice. I mean, you could have highlighted one sentence in one book and you're getting a $25 credit for doing it.
I didn't even think of that. That's even, yeah, this kind of stuff just makes me infuriated. Tony in the chat is asking if Xbox games are really the only successful media platform that they still have. They do still have a movies and TV store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we have at times jokingly, at times more seriously, wondered if that is still going to be around after a while. Who knows? I honestly don't know. But the good thing there is that they have linked that to Movies Anywhere. So at least for movies mm-hmm. that you buy from five of the seven major studios, those will get federated elsewhere. But TV shows?
Assuming you live in a country where Movies Anywhere
yes.
is available.
Yep, yep, good point. But if you buy TV shows, that isn't an option. And so, yeah, it's sticky. It's sticky.
Yep. Yeah, very, very good point. Okay, that's it for our news, so much of which was sad. Sorry, guys. It's hard to start off my favorite month of the year with so much bad news, but it is, so sorry. All right, Richard, what's going on in your entertainment center?
Well, then let's have some good news, because I have mostly only good news in my entertainment center these days. So first thing is that I sent in my Drobo. I took out my Frankenstein fan power configuration and took out my drives and packed it all up and sent it in. And they said they'll let me know the shipping number when they send my replacement. So we'll see how that goes.
Yay.
I'm pretty excited about it. Then on the TV watching side, we are wrapping up Game of Thrones season 7 because we're only a little more than a week away from the premiere of season 8 on HBO on my birthday, the 14th of April. Just if anyone's wondering, 14th of April is my birthday.
One of the reasons April's my favorite month.
Right. And then about a week later, it's your birthday.
Exactly a week later.
Yeah. So anyway, we are wrapping that up and we are so behind in production that Anthony has been literally releasing one episode a day, trying to catch up to make sure that we are up to the right episode by the time the new season starts.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's been crazy, absolutely crazy, but a lot of fun. And it's really fun to go back and listen to those episodes now, knowing how out of the loop I was at the time and knowing what I know now. You know, it's kind of like when I've talked about Spoiler in Time. When I know what the future holds, it's actually more interesting to listen to what I thought was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So also been catching up on Shameless. I've seen the last few episodes of Superstore. I am continuing to watch The Office, the UK version of The Office, with the spoiler, or not spoiler in time, but with the Court Killers. And, oh man, I got so angry about this. We are at episode 3 of The Office. I go to play episode 3 because that's what's next up on my TV app. Or not on my TV app, on the next up on my strip at the top of my Apple TV when I hover over Netflix. I go in. It's not there. What's going on? I search for it. It's not there. The Office UK is no longer in Netflix. In the middle of watching it, it just went away.
Yeah, that's how this works, Richard.
So I Google, I Bing, I'm trying to find some information about where this is. And finally, I remember there's this app that Tom's always talking about on the show, and that called Just Watch. And it will tell you where you can find different shows. And apparently, unbeknownst to me, I don't know about anyone else, The Office has moved to Hulu. So it's now on Hulu. And of course, it doesn't know what I've watched and what I haven't watched. So, and Hulu doesn't let you mark something as watched unless you actually watch it. So I had to go find the right episode and then go play that. But I was so angry. I actually sent a message in that I hope they play on Court Killers because I think it was funny the way I described my anger about the situation. But anyway, watched a couple more episodes of The Cool Kids, finished the case against Adnan Syed. Have you been watching this?
Nope.
So there are some reveals in the final episode.
Well, that's good.
Previously unknown information to the population.
How?
But still, the state has decided, no, you're not getting another trial. And if you listen through, if you watch through this whole thing, you're going to be asking yourself, like, what kind of corruption is going on now?
Right.
That they won't allow this trial to go through. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. All right. I watched the series The Inventor, also an HBO documentary about the woman who headed up Theranos, I believe is the way that you said it. This Silicon Valley darling company that was going to revolutionize blood testing.
Oh, yes, that one.
Wow. Like, it was slow, and it was a little bit hard for me to stick with it, but holy crap. I mean, just talk about selling snake oil. It was unbelievable what they got away with. So that was interesting. We also watched Aquaman. I loved Aquaman.
Really?
It was so much fun. Don't watch it. You will hate it. It's funny. But it was great. I really enjoyed it. And Bumblebee has arrived. So I'm excited about that. We're going to watch that. And of course, that's a Paramount property. So that's not associated with movies anywhere. So you have to go to Paramount's site to redeem it. So I go to Paramount's site, and the friggin' redemption didn't work. It gives an error message going to the address that they tell you to go to. So I go to Vudu, and it worked to Vudu. But that movie isn't federated anywhere. It's not a part of Ultraviolet. It's not a part of Movies Anywhere. So Paramount, come on, get with the picture, so to speak. Crazy. All right. Also, I think I've mentioned a couple times, because one of our listeners got me interested in the TV Time app, and I've been using that, and they put out another update that is just terrible, terrible, terrible. They've had all kinds of problems with screen rotation. If you rotate your device, that it would just break the experience. Well, they fixed it. They no longer allow you to rotate your device.
I figured that's what you were going to say.
Problem solved.
I don't know why you would stop using that. They fixed your problem, Richard.
Yeah. And because I don't have enough information to consume my time, I have started listening to a new podcast. Now, there's a really good reason. And the reason is that this is a new podcast from Infinite Gain. Infinite Gain is Jenny Josephson's production company.
Okay.
And they have a new show featuring usually three or four former, I believe, federal prosecutors, all discussing kind of the news of what's going on today. Right now, it's the Mueller results and stuff like that, and and discussing, you know, the implications of what he's delivered and the Barr report and all of that stuff. So it'll be, and it's, I think, from listening, relatively nonpartisan. They're just really laying out facts and talking about how this process works and what you should be looking for and why this matters and what's possibly going to happen next or not going to happen. So I've found it very, very interesting, and I'm pretty excited about it. And now, why would I be taking on yet another podcast when I'm behind on my podcasts? I'm caught up on my podcasts.
I don't know how you did it, man.
I am all caught. I have just been listening like nonstop. I walk around the house with my earbuds or whatever they're called in all the time, just trying to catch up as much as possible. So I am finally caught up. And I don't mean, you know, like, no, my list is up to today. I mean, I've listened to everything that's out so far up to today. So
that's amazing.
I'm very happy about that.
Congratulations.
Yes. And then one final last thing. I know we've talked about this in the past, and I'm like, yeah, I don't have that. We now have a CarPlay device in the family.
I like how you phrase that. We have a CarPlay device, which makes it sound like, you know, it must be like a couple $100 device. A CarPlay device is a car.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
So this was dozens of thousands of dollars, not just a few $100s.
We traded in one of our vehicles that didn't have CarPlay for a vehicle that had CarPlay. That wasn't really the purpose of it, but
right.
So I'm pretty excited. It's really nice to have what I think is a reasonable experience for music playback. And I mean, CarPlay definitely has its problems. It also supports Android Auto, so I want to give that a try too and see if that's any better. I know that I've liked what I've seen so far. So
Yeah, kind of I like Android Auto.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. So anyway, cool. That is what I have been up to. Josh, how about you? Let me guess. Playing hockey.
Yeah, a little bit of NHL, maybe not quite as much as usual because OMG, the Division 2 is so good. It's so good. And yeah, I've been playing with some coworkers, and so we have like scheduled nights that we play on because we're all trying to play together and level up together. So we have to schedule this with, you know, four of us. It's not the easiest thing in the world. So it's going a little bit slow because, you know, scheduling with four people, but man, it's good. It's real good. It's really good. Like it a lot. Going to be playing that for a while.
Cool.
But I also had to make time for another game. The Walking Dead, the final season, the final episode came out last week. So played through that. What the heck night was that? Monday night? Sunday night? Monday night. And that's done. I'm done with The Walking Dead entirely. I'm obviously not going to spoil anything here. If you want it spoiled, you're going to have to listen to the spoiler cast that we release here at the DMZ. And that, of course, is Story Players. We will be recording that, I don't know, hopefully this weekend and getting that out to you as soon as possible. So you've got a few more days to play it yourself before checking out that episode of Story Players. Haven't watched anything else, but Jen's really getting a hankering for watching some of these Marvel movies to get ready for this next Avengers movie. She's hitting up social media, trying to peer pressure me into watching some of these movies, like Ant-Man. Like, she's getting all of her friends and stuff to gang up on me, telling me that we need to watch Ant-Man.
Go in knowing that it's funny.
And what I've said is I'm... Tony's doing it. Tony started it too on Twitter. Like, I wonder if Jen messaged him and was like, "Hey, Tony, I need you to do something for me. I need you to tweet about Josh watching some Marvel movies with me." And yeah, so we're going to be watching some. I'm fine with rewatching the Avengers movies to get, you know, all of that fresh in my head. Probably going to end up watching Ant-Man because, you know, make the wife happy. So, you know, we'll talk about that maybe next week if we get to that this weekend. Also, I'm considering canceling Netflix.
What?
We, like, never use it. The price keeps going up, and I don't think it's expensive. I don't think that the price... I'm with you. I don't think it's too expensive for what you get. I think it might be too expensive for what I get, because my kids never watch it anymore.
But Josh, my stock.
Sorry, Richard. You're going to have to find somebody else to pump $15 a month into that company. I never use it. The kids are pretty much YouTube all the time. Jen doesn't use it. So
wow.
I don't think it makes sense to pay for it anymore.
Hmm.
So I might cancel Netflix. If we want to. Like, they do use Amazon Prime Video. Like, who uses Prime Video over Netflix? Nobody. The app sucks compared to Netflix. But
Brian Brushwood.
But my kids, right. But my kids do. My kids
and
do.
Rob is pointing out in the chat that Sabrina starts up again on Friday. And so that's a reason to keep it.
No. No, it's not. Not for me, it's not. Although it does have some of these Marvel movies, right? So maybe keep it through the time that we are doing this Marvel catch up.
Right.
Maybe. All right. That's it for me. Do we have any announcements? Maybe an apology.
Oh yeah. Hey, you know, I was working on some fixes on the site to fix our mobile site, and I accidentally sent about, 100 old episodes of all of our podcasts to everybody. Sorry. So
it wasn't to everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, if your feed got littered with a bunch of old episodes of our podcasts, I am very sorry about that.
Because
it should be fixed now.
I'm pretty certain that Pocket Cast, my Pocket Cast did not go and download a whole bunch of episodes of Entertainment 2.0 or Home On or anything like that.
Huh.
So maybe it's just iTunes. Maybe just iTunes sucks. Imagine that.
Ooh. I can't argue with you there.
Right. Okay. Well, on that most wonderful phrase that I've heard all day, we're going to wrap up the show. If you want to get a hold of us, there are a lot of ways you can do that. Richard is at Richard Gunther on Twitter. I'm at Josh Pollard, and the website is at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Facebook. We've got some other podcasts. I already talked about Story Players. Richard, you've got a show called Home On, covering the latest smart home news. We mentioned Tony Rayner. That's a name that probably sounds familiar
to he's our smart home fans. The episode that is currently playing, and that was our discussion about Lowe's Iris shutting down. I also wrote a post up about that, so you might want to check that out on the site. Coming up, I have David Keitley, who's the CEO and founder of EcoSpectral. They are a smart building technology company in Sydney, Australia. So I'm very excited to talk with him because they have an interesting bent to their office management system. And we'll be talking about that on the next episode of Home On. I also wanted to mention that quite unexpectedly, and I still believe erroneously, Home On is number one on the gadget charts.
What?
On iTunes. Yep.
It's all Tony.
Yeah, well, that is entirely possible. I hadn't considered that. The reason that I think it is erroneous is because the rest of the top 10 podcasts has nothing to do with what's almost always in the top 10 podcasts. There's nothing in there from Relay FM. There's nothing in there from How It Works. There's nothing from Recode. Like, all the stuff, all the usual suspects are missing in the top 10, which is very suspect.
Yeah, that's weird. But you took a screenshot of you being number one, right?
Absolutely, I did.
Nice. Very nice.
I have also actually been on Apple support with them to kind of report that you probably have some sort of problem with your algorithm right now.
Because there's just no way. Right. Cool. Well, that's cool. Even if it is a fluke and shouldn't be that way, it's awesome. And I'm proud of you, Richard. And I'm proud of Tony for helping to get you there.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Well, I always like to remind people we do record the show live most times on Tuesday nights, usually, although not this week because, my life was nuts. But usually Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure when we're going to be recording live, because there's audio, there's video, there's a chat room, and it's a lot of fun when you're here. Now, I say all of that knowing that next week there won't be a live show. I'm not even sure if there's going to be a show at all, but there won't be a live show next week. So come back in 2 weeks from now to catch us live, because that is going to do it for episode 481. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.